content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Victor Glover is set to become the first black astronaut to travel to the moon. The Navy captain and NASA astronaut will make history as part of the Artemis II mission, the first human lunar mission in more than 50 years. This article is by Andrea Bossi. To date, no black astronaut has walked on nor orbited the moon. But that is set to change this spring. NASA's upcoming mission, Artemis II, has a target date on the horizon, which will make Captain Victor Glover the first black astronaut to travel to the moon. Glover is assigned to pilot the flyby mission and is joined by a crew of three other astronauts, including the first woman star sailor going to the moon, Christina Koch. "We're going out with a plan, but you know they say no plan survives first contact," Glover previously said in a U.S. Fleet Forces Command video. "We're going to go out there and do the operation, and then we're going to come back and really be able to give the next crew insight into how it was different from what we thought we were going to do." When the crew, which also includes astronauts Commander Reid Wiseman, NASA Mission Specialist Koch, and Mission Specialist Jeremy Hansen of the Canadian Space Agency, eventually travels to the backside of the moon, it will lose contact with Earth, the International Space Station, family, and friends for 45 minutes until the other side. "People are excited that we're doing things again," Glover previously told ABC. In addition to marking a historic moment for who will be on board, Artemis II will be the first time in more than 50 years that the U.S. goes to the moon with humans on board. "To me, representation is important. People need to be able to see themselves in the things they dream about and not just have to color it in their mind's eye," the 49-year-old continued. Glover himself never set out to be a pilot explicitly. In fact, the California-born captain originally wanted to be a Navy SEAL, not a pilot. But his dad told him, "With an engineering degree and being a Navy pilot one day, you might become an astronaut one day." "So thanks, Dad," Glover said to the USFCC. Artemis II was previously aiming for a March 2025 blastoff, but was delayed and has since been rescheduled for a target launch date this year on April 1st. This mission will perform a flyby in order to help pave the way for a potential 2028 moon landing attempt. "I love that we call great things that humans do moonshots," Glover continued. "Our generation gets to have our own moonshots, not just referencing what we did in the 60s and 70s. Next, Serena Williams gets the Barbie treatment for International Women's Day. In honor of International Women's Day, Mattel unveiled a one-of-a-kind Barbie doll inspired by the tennis legend. This article is by Kimberly Wilson. There are women who inspire a generation, and then there is Serena Williams, who has managed to inspire several. Now she has a doll to prove it. In celebration of International Women's Day on March 8th, Mattel has unveiled a one-of-a-kind Barbie role model doll, made in the likeness of the tennis legend and entrepreneur, adding to her Barbie's inaugural dream team, a global group of eight women recognized for breaking barriers in their fields. The custom doll is part of a broader initiative Barbie is launching this month to spotlight the power of female role models. The dream team highlights women from around the world who are meant to serve as role models for the next generation. The idea is that when girls see themselves reflected in success, it can shape what they believe is possible. "I have always drawn inspiration from the powerful women in my life, from my mom, sisters, and daughters, to the dolls in my toy box growing up," Williams said. "Now I'm thrilled to be honored alongside this incredible group of female changemakers as part of the Barbie Dream Team. Just like so many women have empowered me to turn my fear into courage and doubt into confidence, I hope we can do the same by championing girls everywhere to pick up a racket, become an entrepreneur, or do whatever ignites their passion and brings their dreams to life." The girl who grew up playing on public courts in Compton is now a Barbie. It doesn't get more full circle than that. Williams is joined on the U.S. roster by Kelly Girardi, a spaceflight researcher and science communicator. Together, they're part of a dream team that spans eight women across the globe, each honored with their own custom doll made in their likeness. Mattel is also making a full month of it. Alongside the dream team announcement, the brand is rolling out a new consumer products series of Dream Days deals and the first ever Barbie Dream Fest, a fan festival dedicated entirely to Barbie and its community. Serena Williams already has 23 Grand Slam titles, a venture capital firm, and a growing business empire. Now she can add Barbie to the resume. Safe to say, Serena has never had a slow season. Next, we're using AI more than ever, but at what cost to our mental health? Researchers are starting to unpack how generative AI may be affecting mental health, and the results aren't what you'd expect. This article is by Andrea Bossi. Generative artificial intelligence might be the next push, especially in professional settings, as a tool to improve productivity and skills more quickly. But what effect is this having on our brains? This is exactly what a group of researchers set out to find in a study investigating how AI use might be associated with adverse mental health outcomes, namely depressive symptoms. To the authors, the current moment feels reminiscent of when social media became explosively popular. Today, people have started using AI at breakneck speed, but on a broad level. Little is known about how that might affect our mental health down the line. Are greater levels of generative artificial intelligence used by U.S. adults associated with greater levels of depressive symptoms? The multi-institution research team, including Harvard-affiliated members, asked in their study, published late January 2026. The short answer is yes, to some degree. After studying the results of their survey of over 20,000 participants, researchers found that higher levels of AI usage were associated with modest increases in depressive symptoms. This mostly includes those who use AI for personal use. In their findings, researchers found that those using AI for work and school, where AI is being pushed as a productivity booster, did not show significant ties with depressive symptoms. While they didn't find any significant ties between AI use and mood by gender, they did find some flags when it came to age. According to the researchers behind the study, AI use was significantly associated with greater depressive symptoms among individuals aged 25 to 45 years and 45 to 64 years, but not other age groups. In other words, AI use was correlated with higher levels of depressive symptoms overall, but the association was stronger in those aforementioned age groups. What does this mean for the workplace and schools? Even if the study found significant ties in personal AI use, it's still important to be vigilant about how any kind of AI usage may affect mental health. The same way social media was exponentially adopted without understanding the effects it would have on mental health and brain function, AI has caught on quickly with little known about long-term effects though emerging research is flagging potential issues tied to personal use. This is why researchers across universities right now are trying to catch up and break down what's going on in the brain. It is key to note that these researchers did have some limits in their study, including not being able to account for pre-existing mental health diagnoses and not being able to test for causation versus just correlation. Still, they wrote, the ability to capture other online behavior does allow us to begin to determine the specificity of the outcomes we observed. The team behind the paper includes Roy H. Baralis, MD, Faith M. Gunning, PhD, Ada A. Uslu, Mauricio Santillana, PhD, Matthew A. Baum, PhD, James N. Druckmann, PhD, Catherine Onyanova, PhD, and David Laser, PhD. Based on their findings, the team suggests a need to better understand a potential causal relationship and if some individuals may be more prone to experiencing depressive symptoms after AI use than others. For now, early research is showing there's a link between the two, and more needs to be understood to inform actions and preventive measures to be taken ahead. Next, the state of Black love. When travel plans turn into wedding plans, couples share how a trip brought them more than souvenirs, it brought them love. This article is by Brittany Vickers. Whether it's how Stella got her groove back or Before Sunrise, we've all probably seen a film where the characters meet while traveling and fall in love, romanticizing what that experience could be like for us. Such a plot has been the reality for many people, including Black travelers like DJ and Jose. When DJ quit her job and left the States to teach English in Spain, she was in search of her own Eat, Pray, Love moment. She found the love part in Jose, originally from the Dominican Republic, but living in London while he was vacationing in Madrid. Guys in Spain sometimes turn black women to a fetish, and the hookup culture is very high. So I was looking for something more, she explains. Since there are not a lot of black men in Spain, when I found one, I swiped right. He didn't have any game. He was simply being genuine, and I liked that. Jose felt the chemistry, too. I like how she looked, her smile, and she was cute, so I swiped right. We talked daily, getting to know each other, but I didn't see a future because we were living in different countries. Then I realized we had a lot in common, and the communication was effortless. It was fun. What followed was a romance that defied geography. The first four dates were an adventure, each one unfolding in a different country. Spain, Italy, the UK, and Dubai. They turned passport stamps into proof of commitment. For Ashley and Deandi, love didn't require quite as many miles at first, but like DJ and Jose, it came to be unexpectedly. Their story begins closer to home in Nashville, Tennessee. Ashley was visiting with a bachelorette party, and Deandi, born and raised in Belize, was in town on a business trip. One swipe changed everything. It's rare to find young women with values, ambition, educated, and beautiful all at the same time. That was Deandi's first message to Ashley. I remember thinking his message was too cheesy. I was not going to reply, Ashley admits, until he ended the message saying, "So even if you don't reply to me, make sure you find someone who values how awesome you are and shows you every day." That changed my mind. Their connection moved fast. After messaging for a few days, they met that Monday, then again on Wednesday, then again on Saturday. Deandi missed his flight back to Belize, and before they knew it, 5 months had passed and their first date was still going. Still, love abroad isn't just about romance. It's about logistics, sacrifice, and navigating time zone differences. DJ was still living in Spain when Jose moved even further away, trading in the UK for Dubai. "We spent so much time on the phone that I wasn't hanging out and meeting new people like I had moved to do," she says. "One night I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. It's too hard for me." Jose's response was immediate. He booked a flight to Spain, a move that changed everything. Soon after, the couple began thinking long term. DJ decided to leave Spain and her job to move to Dubai with Jose. Ashley and Deandi faced their own challenges before making a gutsy move. Less than a month after Deandi's 6-month stretch in the States, Ashley, who they joked didn't even have a passport before meeting him, traveled to Belize for a month-long visit. Family opinions added another layer for both couples to navigate. "I felt like people thought I was sketchy and just wanted a green card," Deandi says. That's always a generalization I face because Americans always assume everybody who's not from here wants a green card. In reality, he loved his life in Belize and his family wanted him to stay. "My family wanted to make sure I was making the right move because I'm not the type to just let go of the reins," Jose explains. "Before, I was always playing relationships by the book, always careful, calculating my risks. And this time I was just free, believing in the process." DJ remembers it differently. "It was not that positive," she says, laughing. "Eventually, everyone came around, but I could tell they were not feeling the whole idea. Dubai is far away, and they didn't know much about its culture." Doubt crept in at different moments for both couples, too. Ashley felt the weight of what moving to the U.S. would mean for Deandi. "I felt a lot of pressure because the way race is viewed in the United States is very different from other places," she says. "I wanted to make sure he was 100% on board and I wasn't forcing him to leave his great life in his home country and have to come deal with the prejudices and racism that we have in the United States." For DJ and Jose, uncertainty peaked when DJ, homesick and struggling with the job market in Dubai, announced that she was moving back to the States permanently. In response, Jose made his own big move. "I casually asked, what if we got engaged?" Jose recalls, "To me, DJ going back home single or just dating, that just doesn't have the same commitment to it." He adds, "Now that we know there is a light at the end of the tunnel, it's us being together. We're engaged and we're getting married." Nearly 2 years of immigration paperwork followed, measured in paperwork, patience, and countdowns to the next reunion. But once the ink was dry, the transition from long distance to marriage required intention. "I bought a house because I wanted us to feel settled," DJ says. "I also surprised him with a PS5 when he moved because that's a pretty significant action, and that was to show my appreciation that he moved. Our wedding was a few months later." Jose felt the impact immediately of the move, but also a great deal of support from DJ and her loved ones. She made me feel loved and welcome, and being part of her family reduced my homesickness, he says. I don't feel alone because her family is my family now. Ashley and DeAndre were talking marriage less than 7 minutes after their first swipe on OkCupid. But Ashley is quick to ground the whirlwind fantasy people may have about finding love with someone from another country. You always have to think about the immigration and the policy aspect of long-distance relationship, she says. People have misconceptions that you can just fall in love and be together. No, this is not 90-day fiancé. This is real life. Their advice is simple but hard-earned. Open communication and honesty from the start. Cultural differences, they say, don't disappear. They demand understanding. Today, DJ and Jose are married, raising a toddler in St. Louis, Missouri, and building a life they once could only imagine across time zones. As for Ashley and DeAndre, they reside in Houston with their two children. While they're rooted in the present, they try to keep their hearts open to the future. A move to Belize is always on the table, a reminder that as long as they're together, wherever their love story takes them, it will be a happily ever after. Next, six magical ways to experience the soulful side of Disney World. These culturally aware, celebrate soulfully moments delivered unforgettable memories of our family of three will cherish for a lifetime. And this article is by Bridget Bartlett Royal. Black history is worthy of celebration all year and throughout every walk of our lives. Our collective joy is revolutionary. Simply having a good time engaging in fun activities just might be one of the best ways to enjoy celebrating Black History Month. The folks at Disney have embraced this idea. Their Celebrate Soulfully program throughout the month of February proves the power of our joy in notable ways. I had the awesome opportunity to check out Celebrate Soulfully earlier in February with my husband and our 7-year-old son. Our family spent 4 fun-filled days in Orlando, Florida, soaking up sunshine, visiting Magic Kingdom, Epcot Center, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Disney Springs, Hollywood Studios, and Typhoon Lagoon Water Park, sharing laughs, creating an abundance of unforgettable memories, and experiencing the adrenaline rush that only a roller coaster ride can bring, all while basking in our rich and layered culture. A time was had. Here are 6 unforgettable ways Disney's Celebrate Soulfully helped fill my little family with even more pride, welcoming doses of joy and a whole lot of fun. Meeting Princess Tiana. Our family getting to meet and take pictures with Princess Tiana is a big deal. Tiana's character is based on legendary New Orleans chef Leah Chase. As Mrs. Chase is known for groundbreaking work in both the culinary arts and the civil rights movement, the intentionality behind Princess Tiana's inspiration should not be minimized. In addition, Tiana is unapologetically Southern, chocolate brown, and we know this is extremely rare in popular culture, ambitious, and focused on accomplishing her goals. While she does eventually get with Prince Naveen, she was never waiting for him to rescue her because she had her own talents and dreams. This type of representation is important for all children. Witnessing Antonia Toya Johnson Rushing serve as Grand Marshal. The parades at Disney World are epic. Seeing reality star, best-selling author, and influencer Toya Johnson Rushing and her daughter, Rain, kick off a huge one in Magic Kingdom surrounded by thousands of people was an awesome feeling. Like Princess Tiana, Toya is a New Orleans native and positively reps her city with pride. Toya was also friendly, gracious, and excited to meet all the children she encountered. Art Walk murals at Disney Springs. There are stunning art installations throughout Disney Springs and the Art Walk corridor. Many of them are by talented Black artists, including Ernest Shaw Jr., Anika Jones, and Brandon Hill. Dubbed a canvas of expression, the Art Walk was cool to visit as a family as we were able to discuss which pieces were our favorites and why. Introducing our son to art in all forms, especially pieces that celebrate our culture, is always a win. Lion King concert plus Q&A with actress Kissy Simmons. We were treated to an awesome performance of The Lion King as part of the Disney on Broadway concert series at Epcot. Our son's first Broadway play experience was The Lion King in New York City. We thoroughly enjoyed the Epcot version of this family favorite production because while the story was familiar, being outdoors made the energy even more electric. A 10 out of 10 experience. Our private Q&A post-performance with gifted actress Kissy Simmons was icing on the cake. Dancing with African drummers in Animal Kingdom. Before our farewell dinner in Animal Kingdom, we were greeted by African drummers who were playing as guests entered the venue. My son started dancing without fear of being judged. The rhythm hit him and he let the ancestors guide his feet, not caring who was watching him. Witnessing him experience that level of black boy joy was priceless. It healed parts of my inner child I didn't even realize were wounded. Woo! That evening, we dined on an African feast. Countries represented included Ghana, Morocco, and South Africa. It featured a plethora of delicious dishes, including jollof rice, lamb kofta skewers, and pap with Berber grilled shrimp. Each dish was prepared and presented with intention. Chef's kiss. Meeting Princess Ariel. Remember how upset some were that Disney's adaptation of The Little Mermaid included a brown Ariel? That's exactly why she's necessary. Grateful that my son took pictures with and was excited to meet her as well. He was ecstatic to get her autograph and show it to his classmates when we returned home. And for the record, her locks are gorgeous. A Disney princess with natural hair? Who would have thunk it? My family enjoyed our Celebrate Soulfully experience immensely. The best part was perhaps that our son is not just learning about Black history by reading textbooks and watching documentaries. He was able to learn more about his ancestry in unexpected ways beyond the narrative of pain and struggle, while having the time of his life in the process. Encounters with Mickey, Minnie, and the gang don't hurt either. That's unquestionably a win-win, not just for our family, but for the entire culture. All right, next. Fresh air, clear mind. How everyday outdoor movement supports our wellness. Black women are reclaiming the outdoors as a space for grounding, restoration, and intentional movement, proving that everyday fresh air can be a powerful path to wellness. This article is by Jennifer Ford. Time spent outdoors supports overall well-being, and Black women are increasingly reclaiming the outdoors as a space for grounding, restoration, and connection. Whether it's biking through tree-lined neighborhoods or a hike along a scenic trail, these moments aren't about escape, they're about expansion. In a culture that often asks Black women to carry more, do more, and be more, the outdoors becomes a space where we can simply exist. Open spaces and fresh air offer us the freedom to move intentionally and comfortably between environments. Outside, we're greeted with possibilities to explore, to discover, and to transform ordinary trips into lasting memories. Stories we'll cherish long after the drive, hike, climb, or walk is over. The road is open. Where will you take it? Well, we've pinned a few places to get you started. Martha's Vineyard, Oak Bluff. This coastal escape is known for its laid-back elegance, scenic harbors, and boating culture that feels both classic and inviting. The shoreline offers sweeping ocean views, charming lighthouses, and a sense of calm that only comes from being surrounded by water. The island's beaches and marinas make it easy to move between adventure and relaxation without rushing the experience. It's the kind of place where time outdoors feels restorative, intentional, and quietly luxurious. Anacostia Park. Situated along the Anacostia River, this expansive green space has long been a cornerstone of outdoor life in one of D.C.'s most historically Black communities. Miles of trails, open lawns, and river views create space for movement, reflection, and gathering. The atmosphere feels accessible and affirming, offering a kind of calm that does not require distance from the city. It is where restoration and community meet in the open air. Stone Mountain Park, just outside Atlanta. This landmark has long been a gathering place for Black families and outdoor enthusiasts seeking space, movement, and fresh air. The granite dome offers climbing routes ranging from approachable to advanced, with expansive views that make every ascent feel intentional. Beyond the climb, the surrounding trails and open landscape create room to reset, reflect, and reconnect. It is a place where challenge and community share the same horizon. All right, next, DeBrat and Judy Dupart Harris open up about the backlash they received for choosing a white donor to welcome their son. The couple says people targeted them for using a white sperm donor despite limited options for selecting Black donors. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. DeBrat and Judy Harris Dupart are speaking out about the backlash that came with what should have been a joyous time. In a recent interview with People, the couple revealed they've been getting death threats from strangers after using a white man donor's sperm during their IVF journey. We received death threats. People told us things like we should miscarry, DuPont told the publication. The rapper and entrepreneur claimed they didn't have much of a choice, seeing that there was limited availability when it came to black sperm donors. Their goal was to have a happy, healthy baby, even if it meant it using a white donor. Only about 3% of donor sperm is from black men, DuPont explained. Despite the negativity, Judy and DeBrat are basking in motherhood and raising their son. During the interview, the Kaleidoscope Hair Products owner gushed over the type of mother Brat is to their little one. She's the most devoted mother in the world, DuPont said, adding that Brat loved every minute of her pregnancy experience. The road to motherhood was filled with challenges such as fibroids, polyps, and a miscarriage before True was born in 2023. They shared their story publicly at the time, giving voice to other couples going through a similar journey. It broke my heart, Brat said, reflecting on the loss, but I wanted to try again. Thank God I didn't quit or give up. She said that pregnancy was bumpy at times, all those IVF hormones, but once he arrived, she quickly realized she was born to be a mother. It's such a blessing. After I get back from the radio show, I'm a stay-at-home mommy, the rapper shares. I don't know how I did anything else. The couple have a new book titled The Way Love Goes, A Guide to Building a Beautiful and Everlasting Relationship, detailing their love story. The book was released on February 3rd and is available on major platforms. Right ahead of their first wedding anniversary, they announced they were pregnant with their first child together. They had a lavish wedding in February of 2022. DeBrat's pregnancy was a blessing, considering she never thought being a mom was in her future. I never thought I was going to have kids, she said. I just thought it wasn't in the cards for me. I've had a great career, a full life. I felt like because I didn't get pregnant earlier on, then it just wasn't going to happen for me. While True is Brat's first child, DuPont has three other children, daughter Deja and sons Jordan and Byron. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.